The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Super woke. That's what Fox News is talking about when they refer to the new Superman film. They say it has pro-immigrant themes. Jumping on board the latest MAGA outrage, Fox News took aim at director James Gunn for proclaiming the latest Superman reboot as a story about an immigrant who came from other places, and some may take offence to it because the film centres on human kindness. We'll talk about that in a moment, but also there's been uproar from MAGA supporters as Trump defended the US Attorney General Pam Bondi after critics accused her of withholding information over the death of the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and his so-called client list. Let's hear some of those MAGA concerns.
Who is rolling this out? The little rascals?
Pam Bondi has definitely made multiple inconsistent statements, and I'm sorry, but she does not deserve the benefit of my good opinion, and I'm not prepared to give it to her.
They're covering up. The DOJ, the current DOJ under Pam Bondi is covering up crimes. Very serious crimes by their own description. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing that?
Is she stupid?
Except just a memo that was written that says there is no client list.
It's not about just a pedophile ring and all that. This is about who governs us, right?
Some MAGA fans who are concerned about the lack of a client list from Jeffrey Epstein and the non-release of the existing or non-existent Epstein files. I'm joined by the head of training at the Communications Clinic, Sunday Independent columnist Lorcan Nine. Lorcan, good morning.
Morning.
So what's going on in MAGA?
MAGA are incredibly annoyed, more annoyed than they've ever been and more sustainedly annoyed than they've ever been at Donald Trump and Donald Trump's administration about the lack of release of what they would see as Epstein's client list. So there is a big conspiracy theory around Jeffrey Epstein. That the crux of it is Epstein sex trafficked women to high profile individuals, then blackmailed them. He then did not commit suicide, according to this conspiracy theory, but was killed to cover it up. And there is a client list that exists that once it's released, will basically release everything about the swamp that Donald Trump used to talk about, the deep state. It's symbolic of that. In the run-up to the election, a lot of high-profile Trump people, including J.D. Vance, including Cash Patel, now head of the FBI, were very strong on, we will release the list, we must release the client list, the client list must be released.
And Dan Bongino, the deputy head of the FBI, who was a podcaster and one of the most extreme and pugilistic kind of podcasters, who, when he puts on a collar and tie, it does not sit well on him.
No.
T-shirt suits him better.
Yeah, he seems to miss the ease of podcasting for hours and hours and hours rather than actually the work of being involved in the administration. Right. But he is now threatening to resign. Basically, the Department of Justice, once they got in, released a report relatively recently that said, actually, no, there is no client list. There is nothing to see here. Let's move on. But Pam Bondi made a big mistake when she first took over. She's the Attorney General, where she basically hyped up releases they were going to do, even though there was nothing in those releases, and said or implied she had the client list at her desk. And now the fact that that has not come out has sparked a massive backlash among Donald Trump supporters.
Now, he, I suppose, has been guilty of many outrages, including, I mean, he's a convicted felon and all of the rest of it. And also he was in a civil case, the sexual assault in New York. Why is this so aggravating for MAGA?
Because this was one of the original appeals of Donald Trump, okay? He got his first spark from the birther movement, where he was questioning, you know, whether Obama was born in the United States or not. That was a conspiracy theory. He caught hold of the conspiracy theorist wing of America, and their new one, their biggest one, is Epstein. So they feel significantly let down. They seem to, Steve Bannon has described the Epstein case recently as the key that will pick the wider lock. They have locked in on this as this symbolic myth that will unlock the deep state. And so they, I think, genuinely believe Donald Trump was going to be their advocate against what they genuinely believe is a deep state. Donald Trump played up to those conspiracy theorists. He is now not. And his attempt to shut it down, Pat, has failed. He has come out and
the idea that there are no files, now that beggars belief, because obviously the FBI seized stuff on the island and they seized stuff at his home in Florida, although many of the computers were actually taken away in advance. There was a tip-off, it would appear, to Epstein that he was going to be raided in Florida. But that there is stuff there that definitely come out. And then Trump maybe tests even MAGA credibility, because they are a very credible, a very credulous bunch, when he said that Obama wrote the Epstein file.
Yeah, and he tried to move them on back to Hunter Biden's laptop, back to crooked Hillary. And this seems to be the one. This and the foreign policy seem to be the one where his right-wing people, who will forgive him absolutely everything, seem to deeply, deeply care about this. And the fact that Trump's response was, why are you still talking about Epstein? He's the guy that will never die. Will you all just move on and focus on what I want you to focus on? Has gone down really badly. But it's the people who are coming out against the Pat that are interesting. This isn't just random online, you know, MAGA people that people will not know. One of the clips there was Tucker Carlson calling it a cover-up. The Turning Point USA, which is Charlie Kirk's group who ran the turnout campaign for the Republicans, he's incredibly effective online. He had their conference, and a lot of people at the conference were directly going at Donald Trump for this. Steve Bannon talked about it. There was, you know, comedians there saying, look, Donald Trump is covering up for a sex trafficker in this. You know, Roseanne Barr was one of his first supporters, and she's come out and said, is there any bad time to be against child trafficking, Donald Trump? Read the room. So a lot of his actual serious supporters, a lot of people who are very influential in that MAGA world, are really questioning this. And obviously then you have Elon Musk as well.
Now, Elon Musk said that Bannon was on the list. And yet Bannon is one calling for the release of everything, perhaps to vindicate his own name in this regard. Because whatever else, I mean, he did serve time, so he's guilty of crimes, but not this particular crime. I'm sure he's anxious to demonstrate.
Yes, I believe so. And look, and people in Steve Bannon's orbit have talked about this being the one that will not go away, have talked about it being maybe about 10% of Donald Trump's support who will really, really care about this. And that does matter when it comes to the midterms, Pat, because Donald Trump wins the presidency and the Republicans win the presidency based on low interest voters, people who don't pay attention to the news but who show up in presidential elections. They don't show up in midterms, so he's always a bit weaker there. If he loses even a few percentage of his base who get a bit disillusioned based on this issue that is not going away yet, it could have a real impact in a couple of tight seats.
Trying to understand the mind of MAGA, is it that they are concerned about the trafficking of young girls to or pedophilia generally, the abuse of young girls, not yet women? Are they worried about that, or is it more about the deep state?
It's impossible to know without sitting down and talking to them. My feeling on it is that it's more about the deep state, more about the idea that people are against us, that there is a shadowy cabal that is controlling things, and that's why my life is not what I would like it to be. And if we could just fix that, we will fix everything. And look, Pat, like, you know from history, that's not a new idea. It's much more about the deep state. They do seem to have believed that Donald Trump was on their side. This now seems to be a revealing truth. Now, that doesn't mean that Donald Trump is going to be gone tomorrow. It doesn't mean that it's actually going to massively impact Donald Trump at all. But it might impact the movement post-Donald Trump, where that MAGA movement, which is going to be hard to keep together, will become much more difficult to keep together now if he's lost that absolute core fanatic base.
Now, let's move on to Fox News and Superman. Super woke is how they're describing him. What's their issue with Superman?
That this new movie is promoting an immigrant agenda. So it's basically come from quotes from James Gunn, who is the director, where he has said that Superman is the story of America, an immigrant who came and who populated, and then that it's a story about kindness winning out. And this has annoyed the usual suspects. Fox News, as you say, super woke, that said they're embracing a pro-immigration themes. Kellyanne Conway, who said we don't want to be lectured on somebody's ideology. Ben Shapiro, who talked about it imposing a liberal ideology. Now, obviously, when you look at the crux of this, from the very, very first Superman, left Krypton as an alien, came to America.
The original immigrant making it good in America.
Yeah, he is the American story, or what used to be the American story, which is what I think is interesting. The American myth used to be America is an idea. Anybody can become an American if you buy into the American values, come here, become one of us. We are a melting pot. That was the American myth. No longer for the right wing of America is that the American myth. They have changed. They no longer like the idea of American being an idea that everybody is welcome. They have started talking about American being about your heritage and not just your values.
But when you look at America and its original Declaration of Independence in 1776. I mean, that was as a result of colonization. The Native Americans lost everything, pretty much.
It's always been a myth. You know, but every nation has a myth, and they tend to buy into it, and they tend to wrap around it. This is the breaking down of that myth, and the fact that they've picked Superman, who obviously is going to have a pro-immigration team, given he is a refugee. So, like, he is going to have a pro-immigration team within that movie. The fact that they have tried to rail against it, unsuccessfully in my view, but they've tried to rail against it, just, it's a really interesting shift in how Americans see themselves. And, like, this is a superhero movie, so it doesn't massively matter, but it is more consequential when it comes to policy and when it comes to Americans.
How is it doing at the box office?
Quite well. Very, very well. In fact, it is the number one opening week of any Superman film ever. It is the third of the year. It's done about 200 million. It's doing better in America than it is doing around the world. It needs to reach about 500 or 600 million to have done well. It will reach that. So it's doing well in the box office. Now, I don't think that has anything to do with the pro-immigration teams, whether you're for it or against it.
Yeah.
It's just people like the movie. Apparently it's a fun, silly movie that brings kind of superhero movies back to what people would like them to be, and it tends to be doing quite well.
Okay, so why are Fox News doing this then? Is it just a talking point for another day?
I think it's a talking point for another day, but I think long term it's a little bit more interesting than that, because it's such a weak target. It's such a feeble attempt, because it's just illogical. The entire Fox News right-wing podcast or Ben Shapiro network is built on outrage and being able to hit new targets. Yeah. And the Democrats have given them targets for years and years and years and years. They've always given them new targets to say, oh, you're woke, and to hit back against. Just because they don't know what to do, the Democrats have now gone dead. They've gone silent. They're not doing anything.
Now, the theory is, of course, let the Republicans implode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could take a while.
Which is the James Carville argument, okay, was that's what they're doing. I'm not sure if it's a conscious choice, and you had Kev Obama coming out against that policy and the other day we're talking to funders. But I think a byproduct of that approach, they have nothing to hit anymore, and therefore there is space. And so they need to use the space somehow. And so they're going for weaker targets, which, like the Superman one, is a weak target. And then that brings us back to the Epstein thing, where Fox News are covering that and saying, hang on, where are the files? What's going on here? So I think it's a byproduct of the Democratic paralysis, but I think it's one that actually is going to lead to more attacks on the Donald Trump administration, yeah, because they need outrage.
If you go back to other Murdoch initiatives. I mean, Murdoch was concerned, obviously, and led to the firing of Tucker Carlson, if you remember the last time out. And in Britain, when Murdoch decided to back Tony Blair years ago and abandoned the Tories, I'm wondering to what extent Murdoch and his sons, warring though they may be, might get a bit worried about Donald Trump. I mean, if there is no free media, that also will include Fox. They will be vulnerable to diktat.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any...
So is Murdoch likely to turn?
It's possible, because I don't think there's any like ideology behind Fox News, bar, you know, what the viewers want, we will give them, and what is good for the Fox organization, we will try to create. So I think you look at that from the Fox News point of view, is they will do what is right for them, and then also if there's a vacuum, they have to fill it in some way. And then kind of as influential now is the Tucker Carlson sphere, which is the more independent podcaster sphere, and they do have some element of an ideology, and on foreign policy, on the deep state, they do seem to now be totally misaligned with Donald Trump. You even have Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman, the most MAGA of MAGA people, really critical now of Donald Trump's moves in Ukraine, really critical of the moves in Iran, saying this is not what people voted for. When I rallied for you, I got the biggest cheers by saying America should stay out of all foreign policy. Now, I wouldn't agree with that position, you know, or you can agree or cannot agree, but it's interesting that she is breaking. That she is the one actually breaking from Donald Trump, not the conservative, more traditional Republicans who are all still in behind him.
I was listening to an interview with Mark Cuban yesterday, who was working with the Democratic campaign for the presidency with Kamala Harris yesterday. And he was saying that what Trump does every single day is he floods the zone. Mm. And it doesn't really matter whether it's eating cats or eating dogs. There's traction, and it's picked up by everyone, your phone, my phone. It may spin it in our direction on our phones, but the algorithm will pick it up and throw it at you. And he does that. And the Democrats are simply not doing it. They're still looking to old media channels and old techniques of testing messages with, pollsters. But that's not what Trump does. He just floods the zone.
Yeah, and what Donald Trump has always been a genius at is that flooding the zone to distract, but also flooding the zone to test market. He throws things out there. He sees what spikes. and then he doubles down on that. He's done that for his entire career. He's done that for his entire political career. You throw out 40 or 50 things. Oh, two of those get a bit of spark. Okay, I'll double down on those now for a period of time. So it's almost like a live focus group to see what works online and then follow it along. So he does that incredibly well. I think politically, whatever what's happening in America, politically, if we're looking at elections, you need to start looking at this past Trump or past Trump 2.0 and saying, okay, how strong is he in terms of being able to pass the baton to whoever he wants after Donald Trump, be it one of his own kids?
He won't want to, will he?
No. See, that's it. How strong is he that he might want to kind of have a third crack at it? You know, that he might want his third term. How strong will he be?
No, but I'm just wondering, would he kind of be a bit envious or jealous of J.D. Vance, who's a younger man? Would he want him to carry on? Are his own sons capable of it? I don't think they're capable of winning the kind of popular support that Donald Trump managed to garner. So would Donald Trump prefer somebody entirely different?
He might, and he might decide on a different successor, but it will be whether it will be a MAGA successor or a slight variation on MAGA that will take over the Republican Party. If MAGA remains as strong as it has been and Donald Trump remains as strong as he has been, it will be a continuation of some form. Who that might be, we do not know, but it will be a Vance, a kid, or somebody he picks. If a couple of these things, though, they won't take down Donald Trump as the president this time, but they might weaken him for the next race. And again, if the midterms don't go particularly well, it's no longer about will Donald Trump be defeated. He won't be. Yeah, it'll be can he be strong enough to carry on his own agenda, his own movement past this presidency? And I think that's the lens we need to be looking at things, which does give the Democrats a fair amount of time, albeit there is damage being done right now.
Who's the leader of the Democrats? Newsom is too California, is he, to win the country?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of the Democratic leaders are very, very wounded by the revelations around that they were asked to take on Joe Biden, that they knew what was happening and they didn't take him on. I think that that's going to be a fatal flaw. Whoever is the Democratic nominee of president next time, I think is not high profile yet. I think it's going to be somebody who
emerges.
Could well be. It'll be somebody who nobody is talking about right now, probably a governor, but it'll be somebody who is not being talked about, who will Obama-esque just capture something. And the argument is it going to come from that kind of Bernie Sanders socialist left who will capture, or would it be a new moderate who finds a different way of talking about moderation?
And of course,
makes it sound revolutionary.
At that point, the mayor of New York is likely to be a Muslim.
Exactly. And I mean, he has really captured something. And now, look, everything has been thrown at that race. That race has become fascinating. But if he can win that race well, it gives a bit of a credibility to that left wing of the Democratic Party that says, look, you let us do our thing, we can win, because they speak to somebody.
Again, it was very interesting listening to the Mark Cuban interview saying it's not that he can deliver everything he's promising to New York, but it tells you where he's coming from, what his instinct is, what he stands for, even though practically he won't be able to deliver all of that. And that's where people like Cuomo let you down, because they're being too, I suppose, realistic to maybe old-fashioned political pragmatism rather than idealism.
What he does really, really well is the same thing that Donald Trump does really, really well, which is he uses policy to communicate on values. He doesn't communicate about policy. He uses policy to communicate a value. In his point of view, it's affordability. I get it. It's too expensive. Here is four policies around that area. It's not really about them, though. It's I get it. Yeah, same as Donald Trump, build the wall. It was never really about the wall. It was, I get it. You're worried about immigration. I get it. Using policy to communicate values is the key. You don't communicate about policy.
Lorcan Nine, head of training at the Communications Clinic and Sunday Independent columnist. Lorcan, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.